You stand on data centres. Have you thought about them? Let's put it this way. Would you be happy to have one on your street? There are currently 162 operational data centres in Australia, and there are apparently about 90 more in the pipeline, which means there are a lot of planning applications in the works, and there are some concerns about the water and the power, what they will consume, how they'll affect nearby residents, maybe you, in terms of the livability of your suburb. There's a group who recently put up a strong protest against a data centre from going ahead in Hazelmere. It's part of a new alliance calling for a moratorium because what they say is a lack of an adequate planning framework. Kate Herron is the communications and fundraising manager for Trillion Trees Australia. That's a not-for-profit focused on tree planting and landscape restoration. And it's been one of the strongest voices in the Hazelmere campaign. Thanks for joining us, Kate.
Hello.
Hi.
So let's just go straight to the nub of the issue. What are the major concerns from people in areas where the data centre is already up and running? So they are living with what they see as really unfortunate side effects and the things that you are worried about.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, what we're seeing globally is that people who are living close to these data centres are living a nightmare. They're operational 24/7. They emit sort of a low-level hum, usually akin to running air conditioners 24/7 at best. And some of them have more like a sort of turbine kind of noise coming from them. They're also creating enormous amounts of heat because they're expelling heat from their cooling systems. Never mind the fact that they've cleared obviously a lot of green space and a lot of trees, and you're building this huge concrete structure. In the US, some research was published recently which suggested that local temperatures were raised by up to 9 degrees. And if you imagine that in Perth, it's already pretty hot. It's already 42 in Hazelmere in summer quite consistently. 9 degrees on top of that would be devastating for our communities. It'd be devastating for ourselves as a community nursery growing native plants, and also for our restoration projects that are, you know, we're trying to plant and establish trees and native plants along the Helena River here in Hazelmere, the Mandoombilia. And if the temperature went up by 9 degrees, you know, it's really an untenable and unlivable conditions.
Is this all data centres? Like, do they all routinely, you know, cause these problems, or are some worse than others?
Look, I think there are some that are having sort of experimental sort of testing of different types of cooling systems, but ultimately they've still got to expel that heat somehow to transfer it out of the building when you've got all these servers and, you know, computers essentially that are generating huge amounts of heat. So that's definitely a significant problem. And a lot of them using a water cooling system, and then they're using fresh water. They don't use like recycled water or rainwater or anything like that. You're using scheme water in enormous volumes to cool these buildings, and that's a very real problem that seems widespread. They also tend to have backup generators because they need to run 24/7. You can't possibly go offline. Imagine if your streaming service went offline. So it means they've got diesel or in some locations gas powered backup systems, almost like a mini gas plant in case they need to run their own, set their own power up and run it quickly.
In some information that you sent through earlier, you also mentioned emissions. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, like, you know, there's great concern around the emissions that are associated with the burning of fossil fuels, never mind the diesel generators, but also if you're getting power from the grid, where does that power come from? You know, it's very rare that these new developments are being put in alongside any sort of renewable power, like new solar farms or new wind turbines. Mostly it's all about adding grid power. And in some locations, they're taking, you know, huge amounts of power from the grid, and that has to be produced somehow.
Aren't there some companies claiming that they will use renewable power to get around compromising the mainstream power grid?
Yeah, look, I think there's some intention there, and I can't comment on all of the applications. As you heard, there's hundreds of different ones, but certainly the application for the site in Hazelmere that we successfully managed to campaign against, there was no plans for any renewable and sources of energy there.
AI has been framed as a big win, even though now we're hearing about some of the other effects. Is this not a necessary evil?
Oh, look, I think, you know, it's fair to say that we're all using the internet and many of us are using AI. We're not tree-hugging hippies. We recognise the need for the technology or some of the technologies. But I think perhaps we all need to look at how much we're using them and whether we really need that AI cat meme that's been generated.
Sorry, what's the AI? I'm a bit behind the times there. What's the AI cat meme?
Oh, I think it's just about using AI to create sort of slop, if you like.
Oh, that, to the, create those, you know, cat filters. Yep.
Yeah, you know, why do I need to go and, you know, make up some computer-generated sort of silly meme idea? And lots of people spend their time entertained by that. You know, we're all scrolling social media, that kind of thing, but perhaps we need to be a little bit more conscious as well of our usage and how necessary it is and what the consequences of that use of AI and, you know, streaming and data would be for the planet.
So let's talk about planning. And you were saying, you know, there's at least 90 applications out there. So they're going to councils, and this is across the nation. What kind of policies, framework is there? Does it just vary from council to council?
Yeah, there's very limited involvement at the council level, in fact. And in our case, the City of Swan were not direct. They didn't get to vote, basically, as a council on this application because the WA planning process bypasses local council for large applications. Mm-hmm. So it was going straight to the Development Assessment Panel with a report from local council, which framed the inputs of the community, and that included in this case 1,829 community objections submitted to the City of Swan about this application. So there, you know, there's real and genuine concerns amongst communities about the impacts on them and on the environment and the, you know, appropriate locations that these developments should or shouldn't happen. And certainly next to a river, next to a primary school, in a residential area like this one, it really is not an appropriate place.
It's 16 minutes after five, and you're listening to Kate Herron. She's the Communications and Fundraising Manager with Trillion Trees Australia, and they're a not-for-profit. They're focused on tree planting and landscape restoration, but they've been one of the strongest voices in the campaign against a proposed data centre in Hazelmere, and now they're trying to take it up a level. So you've joined with others, Kate, I understand, to propose a moratorium. Can you talk us through that?
Yeah, so we've been involved now in a national alliance that's forming because these applications are popping up. You know, I had an email yesterday from a lady in a community group in Tasmania. They're all over the country. And, you know, there's real concerns that at a federal level something needs to be done. And there's currently a federal inquiry open to submissions from the community into data centres and AI and their impacts and the concerns of the community. And that's part of what this alliance is about. It's been led by a climate activism group called 350, and we're working with other local environmental groups like the Bibal Nama Aboriginal Association and community groups like that all really have the same, you know, agenda. We believe that more guardrails are needed, more frameworks, more legislation is needed. It needs to catch up because at the moment a data centre is classified as a warehouse. There is no other
really
category. Yeah, because the legislation is so old, it doesn't, you know, they weren't invented when it was formed. And obviously the impacts of them are also only now really becoming known globally. And Australia is a little bit perhaps behind that race as well. And they're being billed as a great economic opportunity by the government. But yeah, we believe that there needs to be a pause. A moratorium would call for a pause on developments of new data centres until the proper frameworks and legislation are in place to protect the environment and protect communities and hear the voices of First Nations people too.
Kate, we've just had some texts on this. A tongue-in-cheek one from Erin from Forest Lake who says maybe AI can come up with a solution for this problem. Someone else who doesn't name themselves says modern data centres use very little water. At most, the toilets use more. Closed-loop cooling doesn't need water except when doing maintenance.
Yeah, look, I'm not the expert on the way that data centres are built, but certainly the one that we had experience of, that wasn't the type of cooling system that was being proposed.
Someone else said, what's the data centre for and who owns them and why do we need them?
So this one was being developed in Hazelmere by a company called Green Square DC. Where's the irony? And it... We did get an indication it might be being built for Amazon. We know that the tech giants are very heavily invested, unsurprisingly. Meta, Amazon, eBay, and also governments and, you know, health, police, all of these departments that are keeping all of our own data on the cloud. They need somewhere for that data to, you know, be streamed or stored or otherwise... facilitated, if you like. So they are infrastructure in a modern world.
And just finally, in terms of your call for a moratorium, how has it been heard? You know, what sort of response have you had?
Yeah, so it's early days, but we're certainly seeing, you know, a gathering of momentum. There's been huge interest since the middle of May when the application in Hazelmere was withdrawn. We've had an enormous amount of interest from all levels of government who have engaged with us at different times in the process as well, and also from the media. I think, you know, people are starting to open their eyes to what these things are and what they could mean, and also that, you know, the importance of protecting our natural environment. You know, for us, we're committed to healing landscapes and connecting communities through our love of trees, and we certainly want to fight for protections for those natural landscapes. Otherwise, once they're lost, you know, they're gone forever.
Thanks very much for explaining your side of the equation, Kate. Kate is the communications and fundraising manager for a group called Trillion Trees Australia. I've just read a book, I think I might have mentioned this the other day, called The Infinite Sadness of Small Appliances. It's a fiction, but it's about a household where the machines, they effectively run the house for the humans who have a very reduced role, but that house then plugs into the network, and they talk about these data centres that were out there. And I must say, even though it's fiction, it raises some really very good points. Anyway, it's called The Infinite Sadness of Small Appliances. It's by a writer called Glenn Dixon. Coming up, we're talking about reforms in the tow truck industry.